Okay, so let's keep going on with the family of methods of feasible directions. In the previous lecture, we've seen a generic algorithmic scheme which left two points unsaid, two tasks to perform unspecified, how you check the optimality condition, which somehow we call stationarity condition for the constraint problem, and second task, how to choose the feasible direction in such a way that it is also a descent direction. We've already seen the conditional gradient method, also known as the Frank-Wolf method. Today, I'm going to show you an additional method which implements these two tasks in a pretty different way. To do this, I need to speak a little bit about projections of points on a set. Okay? I anticipate you the basic idea of the method. The basic idea is the following. We try to do a gradient method as if the problem has no constraints. Okay? Indeed, our problem has a constraint, so we are just interested in minimizing our continuously differentiable objective function on a set capital X, but we could try to apply the gradient method as if this constraint did not exist. Well, what happens? It's likely that you will go out of the feasible region. Okay? You are in a point, let's say here, you apply the gradient, this is the gradient, this is capital X, it's likely that you get out of the feasible set. If you are in the interior of the feasible region, maybe you could take a small enough step. But if you are in the board, on the border, on the frontier, and the gradient is made like this, there is no way you can move along the gradient, okay, keeping feasibility. So the idea of this method is to project the point you achieved with the gradient method onto the feasible region. Okay? So I need to define what is called the projection of a point onto well, we could do it in generally on a set, but let's say on a convex. Okay? So here we have a point, let's say a given point in Rn. Okay. And the set X in Rn, capital X in Rn. Okay. And we want to define the projection of this point onto this set. Okay. Well, clearly, if the point is in the set, any reasonable concept of projection tells you that the projection is the point itself. Okay? If you are in the set, we still keep being in the set, there is no reason to change point. Okay? But if you're out of the set, you need some definition. The idea is simple. You would like the projection to be the nearest point of the set capital X to Y. Okay? So you have a point, Y, you have a set, you wish to find the nearest point to Y, which is in the set. So somehow you want to solve an optimization problem. Okay? The nearest point is the point X in the set, which minimizes
This is your country to you, this is one.
So, let's say the projection problem is this one. Okay? So, okay, it's an optimization problem, so we can study it. As we already did in the case of least squares problem, in which you have to minimize the norm, okay, in that case was the norm of, let's say, in the linear case, ax minus b. The problem is unchanged if you take the square of the distance. Okay? And also, to simplify computation, it doesn't change if you multiply by a coefficient 1/2 in such a way that when you take derivatives, this power and this coefficient, okay, cancel each other. Okay, so the problem originally does not have this red coefficient and power, but the problem is unchanged. Okay? Because if you multiply by this number, you are just rescaling the objective function. If you take the power, since all these numbers are positive, you don't change the order. Okay? Taking the square maintains the order. If a value is smaller than another, and they are both positive, the squares keep the same relationship. Okay? Why do we do this? Once again, I tell you this. Because the norm is a convex function. Good. But it is not differentiable. Check one of the very first lectures. Okay? It's not a differentiable function. Just to remember it well, in dimension 1 and equal 1, the norm is the absolute value. And here, you don't have the derivatives. Okay? Why? If you take the square of the norm is a parabola. Okay? And here, you preserve. And the same happens here. So, my question now is the following. We consider this as the problem. So, our objective function in this case is some... is this... no, let's not call it F, let's call it G. No, H. H of X is 1/2 the square of the norm between of X of Y minus X. Okay? So, this is a constrained optimization problem. What type of objective function do we have? Actually, I've already told you. This is a convex function. If you want to write it component by component, this is 1/2 the sum for I equal 1 to n of y I minus x I squared. Okay? And remember, y is a parameter, okay? Y is a given vector, so these are parameters. These are given values, a number. Okay? We know that this function is convex, and now I will show you that it is convex. And also we know that this is also a quadratic function, okay? This is a quadratic convex. Clearly it is quadratic because we have, it's a polynomial of the, is a polynomial in which the variables have are monomials of degree 1 or 2, so this is a quadratic function. Let's see why this convex. Well, it's not really different from the case of linear b squared. If you take the derivative with respect to xj of h in a point, you take the derivative of this with respect to xj,
So the only term that matters is when I is equal to j, and the derivative is 2 times 1 half, so they cancel, this term by the derivative of this, which is minus 1, so it is xj minus yj. Okay? If you write it completely, the gradient of h is the vector x minus y. Okay? Now you take second order derivatives just to get the Hessian matrix. Okay? When you take the derivative with respect to xk, if k is different from j, you don't have the variable, so the derivative is 0. If they are equal, you take the derivative of this, which is 1. So the Hessian matrix is the identity matrix. Okay? You have the derivative is always 1, and if j and k are different, the derivative is 0. Okay? So, the Hessian matrix is the identity matrix, which is, we all know, positive definite, and we know that a function who has a positive definite Hessian matrix at every point is what? Is strictly convex. Okay? So actually we know something more. This objective function is strictly convex. Okay, so what property do we have? Well, remember one of the first lectures in the first semester, when you have when you are optimizing a function, a strictly convex function over a convex set, first of all, you don't have local minima, because the function is convex, so local and global minima are the same, and how many minima do you have? Since the function is strictly convex, you can prove, and we did prove it, that at most you have one minimum point. So the solution is unique. Okay? The solution, the point that minimizes this projection problem is unique. Does it exist? Yes, it exists because this is a strictly convex quadratic function. It means that the function goes to plus infinity as x goes to infinity, okay? If capital X is compact, you don't mind, okay? Because you are minimizing a continuous function over a compact set, so Weierstrass theorem tells you that the minimum exists, okay? If X is unbounded, as X goes to plus infinity, the function goes to plus infinity, is what is called coercive, because it is quadratic. Okay? So the minimum exists, and we know that it is unique because the function is strictly convex. So this projection problem admits exactly one optimal solution, and we name it the projection of Y onto capital X. Okay? So we can really call it in this way. The argument of 1/2 the square of the norm of y minus x over x in capital X as the projection of y
unto that place.
Okay?
This definition is well told
because
there is
a unique point in this argument. Okay? The minimum point is unique. Okay? And it is the closest point in capital X to Y. Here it is clear, if Y belongs to capital X, which is the minimum point? This objective function is always greater or equal than zero, and if you take X equal to Y, the value is zero. Okay?
If Y belongs to X, you just take X equal Y, and the objective function takes value zero.
Okay? So the minimum is exactly Y.
And so, the projection onto X on Y is exactly Y.
Okay?
So, it has the property that we want.
Otherwise, it identifies the nearest point. Okay? Just another picture.
This is X, this is Y, and this is the projection. Okay?
Notice that if you take a non-convex set, you lose this property, and the projection may be not well defined through this formula, because,
let me see if I can make a good example.
This is a non-convex set.
Take the middle point of this segment,
okay, which does not belong to the set. Which is the nearest point in the set? Well,
it's not unique, because this and this other point
are at the same distance, and they are the closest ones. Okay? So, you lose convexity of the region, you lose the uniqueness of the solution of the projection problem. Okay? So, convexity is relevant here, very relevant. Okay.
Otherwise,
you know that there might be more than one projection.
Well, but I'm interested in the convex case, as indeed our family of methods require the convexity of the physical region.
I have a couple of properties which will be useful afterwards.
Okay. Take,
for instance, this
vector. The point minus the projection. Okay.
Now take any point
in the feasible region. For instance, this one, or this one, or this one, or this one.
Okay? You can take any of them. What about all these angles? Okay? Or, in other words, what about the scalar product of this vector with this vector? Of this vector with this vector, and so on?
The angles are always at least 90 degrees, so the stellar traveled this way. Indeed, this is a characterization of the projection. Okay? The projection is the unique vector in the set with this property. And I can state this as a theorem. Let's consider a given point in Rn, y. Okay. Then we have the following characteristics. Then I will give you an additional property. X star, okay, let's be given as X in Rn being a convex set. Then X star is the projection on Y on 2 capital X, even only if you have this property. And this property can be stated as the scalar product between Y minus X star and X minus X star is less or equal than 0, whatever X in capital X you choose. Okay? I'm just stating in formulas this picture. Okay? And this is a complete characterization. Okay? The projection is the unique point with this property. And I will prove it in a second, and it will be very, very easy. And I also have another property which is interesting, and is the following, which says that the projection is not an expansive map in the following sense. If you take the projection on capital X of a vector V, and you take the projection on the same set of a vector Z, the distance between the projections is less or equal than the distance between the two points. Okay? If you have two points, let's say these two ones, V and Z, this is their distance, you take the projections, the distance between the projection can be larger than the distance than the two points. Okay? You see it clearly on the picture. The two projections are getting closer than the two points. It actually depends, let me say roughly, very informally, on the curvature of the border of the set. Okay? Because here, if it's linear, if the border is linear around that point, distances are preserved. Okay? But if you have a curvature, they can get closer. Okay? Somehow the projection here changes because it goes here. Okay? So we have these two properties. I'm proving these two properties. I'm much more interested in the first one rather than the second one, because we will use it. And actually, this is something we already know. Okay? This is nothing but this optimality condition. Okay? For this problem. Okay? And it is a necessary and sufficient condition because this is a convex problem in the sense that the objective function is convex and the feasible region is convex, so this optimality, yellow optimality condition is necessary and sufficient.
Okay. And indeed, the proof just says this. Okay. F star is the projection of Y. Okay. This means exactly that it is the unique solution of this optimization problem. Okay. This means, since this is a convex optimization problem, that this can happen only if the gradient of the objective function at x star times x minus x star is greater or equal than zero for all x in capital X. Okay? H is this, it's the objective function. Okay? I'm just saying this is the optimal condition. If this is the unique minimum point, if and only if it satisfies the necessary insufficient optimality condition. Well, what is this gradient? This gradient is nothing but that. So that gradient is f star minus y. So I'm just replacing it. Multiply by minus 1, and you get, this. Just multiply by minus 1, and you get exactly this. Okay? So this is the proof of this characterization, okay? So, here we have an example in which we have a geometric interpretation of the optimality condition, okay? Because in this problem, this is exactly the gradient. This is exactly the gradient of the objective function. This is the gradient, and these are no. This is sorry, minus the gradient. Okay. And you're saying that minus the gradient at the point has negative scalar product with all these vectors. And you can forget about optimization, and you can tell that this is a property of the projection. Okay? Actually, in textbook, we speak about projection without giving much emphasis on the fact that it is an optimization problem and on optimization theorem. You can find complete proof of this characterization. Okay. All given in geometrical terms, but actually is nothing but restating in other terms the optimality condition. Okay, there in those proofs you will find inside, hidden inside, the proof of the necessary and sufficient optimality condition. Okay. But since we are dealing with optimization, we go through our optimality condition and the proof is, let's say, an immediate, obvious consequence. Okay, it's nothing but restating the optimality condition, exploiting our objective function. Nothing more than that. The second property follows immediately from the first. Okay? I don't want to bother you with all the computation or with all the algebraic steps. I just tell you how do you get it. Okay? Well, you apply this characterization twice. Okay?
So the proof of two is apply. Apply. The first time just taking y to be v. Okay. Apply I with y equal v and x equal to the projection of z. Okay? The projection of z is by definition in capital X. So you apply it, you write it down with that y and that x, and then you reverse the role of v and z. So you take y to be z and x to be the projection of b. Okay? So you have two inequalities. Okay? The first, you get it applying this characterization with this pair of points, and the second time with this other pair of points. Okay? You have the two inequalities, you sum them, okay? The first is something is less or equal than zero. The other is something else is less or equal than zero. Then you make the sum side by side and you get that the sum of these is less or equal than zero. Okay? And then you make an algebraic step and you use a sparse inequality and you're done. Okay? I don't want to spend 5 minutes of our precious time doing the algebraic computation. You have it in the notes. Okay? But it's simply applying the characterization twice and then an algebraic manipulation. Because I would rather spend the last minutes of this first part of the lecture showing you some concrete projections. Okay? Because, okay, I have already given you the idea of the method we will discuss after the break. We are in a current point. We try to do a gradient step, as if the problem were a constraint. If we get out of the region, we project it somehow. And then I will show you that we will do some line search to find the right point, but essentially you project it. Okay? Well, the projection is, okay, we have a nice characterization, but the projection itself is an optimization problem, okay? And is an optimization problem with exactly the same number of variables, okay? It's not like line search. Line search, you have your problem with n variables, the line search is an optimization problem, the exact line search is an optimization problem in one variable, okay? So you could ask me, okay, our problem is a nice convex optimization problem with n variables. And you are telling me that at each iteration you need to solve a problem of the same kind. Okay? Doesn't mind if it's a projection. It's a problem of the same kind. Okay, now, well, I need to solve this too. Okay? And it's a problem of the same kind. How do I do it? Okay? So, doing this type of method which requires projections on a convex set at each iteration are worth to be applied when computing the projection is easy. Okay? So I want to show you a few cases in which computing a projection is easy. Okay? Because if computing the projection is as difficult
as the original problem, there is no advantage in using this type of method. Okay?
So, where do I write protection? The example is here.
The first easy situation is that of a box.
Box constraints. Box constraints are very common in applications because, okay,
a box constraint is telling you that your variables have a lower bound and an upper bound. Okay, they are telling you that you are
that they are limited. Okay, box constraints. So in R2, the box constraint is that your first component must be between L1 and U1, and the second component has to be between L2 and U2. Your region in the two-dimensional space is this box.
Okay. If you want to write it generally,
X capital X is the set of points in Rn such that each component xi is between a lower bound li and an upper bound ui.
Okay? So where these are given values.
Okay.
Let's try to figure this out on the picture.
Okay.
Which is the projection of this point?
Give them over.
Yeah. Okay. This is the projection.
Okay.
And similarly, if we are here, it's exactly the same thing. And what about if we are here? Which is the projection?
The closest one?
Yeah.
The vertex of the box. And so these things are here.
You can make this into a short formal, just taking that. What's the projection of the vector? Why? Well, if generic component I takes value, Li if yi is greater or equal, no sorry, is less or equal than Li, ui if yi is greater or equal than ui, and the exactly itself if it is between the two.
Okay? This is giving formally this picture.
And
here, y1 is smaller than l1, so the first component goes to l1. It is smaller than l2, and so the second component of the projection is l2, and so you get that one. Okay? And exactly the same thing for all the 8 equations. Okay?
Well, in the notes, you can find the formal proof that this is the projection. How do we formally prove that this is the projection?
We apply this characterization, okay? We check that this vector satisfies this condition, okay? Once again, it's just an algebraic computation, so we skip it. Okay? It is not relevant. It is not relevant in the lecture. It is not relevant in the course. Okay? But It's easy. It's easy. You can check it formally. Okay.
Another
relevant situation is when you have a unique linear expression.
Suppose you have a line. Okay? And you have a point y here. Okay? Our capital X is the line.
What is the projection?
Oh. Yeah. You see the case. This line and this line. Suppose
that you're not taking the line, but you're taking a half space, okay, on the blackboard, a half plane. What is the projection? Well, here you have two cases.
Right here,
what is the projection?
This is X. This is capital X. Huh? It's X. Okay. And if it is on the other side, it's exactly as before. Okay? Well, you can make this formula, okay, just exploiting
this vector
A, okay, this vector A, which is orthogonal to the border of, to the line, okay, or to the border of the X space. So in this case, X is the set of points X in a range such that AX is equal to B for some B, okay, a line. This is the equation for a line. And this other is exactly the set of points for which you have the definite point. Okay? Exploiting this vector A, you can give a formula for the projection. Here what? We are moving away from y along this direction, okay, which is minus k. And here you are doing the same if you are outside, and if you are inside, you don't move. Okay? I don't bother you with the formulas. Okay? If you are interested, or if you have to solve a problem where you have this stuff, you have the formulas here. And then I will give you a third easy case. Let's write it here. So I'm just giving you the intuition by pictures. The first case is that of a ball. X star, the ball, let's say the closed ball of center X bar and radius R. Okay. This is why.
What is the projection?
Exactly. I take the line which goes through the center of the ball and y, and I take the intersection with the border of the ball. And once again, if you are inside,
the projection is the point itself. Okay. And in Meinong, he also have the formulas for this case. Okay. They are a bit tricky, both in this case and this case, because if you are, it has to be the minimum of something, because if you are inside, it's zero. Okay? If you are inside here, it must be zero. So if this distance is less than the radius of the ball, okay, you don't move. You keep being in the point. So the step you take away from the point must be zero. Otherwise, the step is clearly given by a move along this direction. Okay? The direction is x bar minus y. Okay? You always move along this direction, but if you are inside, the step must be zero. Okay? So it's a bit tricky. And also in this case, and in these two cases, once you have the formulas, you can check they are correct through this characterization. Okay? And indeed, in my notes, you have the formulas and then the check that these inequalities are satisfied. Okay? But what I want you to focus on is that there are some situations in which computing a projection is easy. You can do it by formulas. Okay? Box constraints, balls, a unique linear constraint. Okay. Notice that if you have more than one convex linear constraint, it's not this easy. Okay. Try to picture yourself the situation in which you have. Okay, a number of linear constraints, let's say polyhedron, okay, and you want to compute the projection of a point here, okay? It's not that easy. You don't have a formula, okay? There are methods to do this, but you cannot give it through an easy formula, okay? So, doing the method which requires projections is meaningful when you have simple constraints. I mean, constraints on which you can, for which you can make the projection on the constraints easily. Okay? Probably the easiest to find in application is the case of box constraints. Okay? Because it's common that your variables cannot take all the values, but just the values in a range. Okay, so let's make a break and then I'll show you the projected gradient method.